Everybody, drop your buffs.
Welcome back to Drop Your Buffs. I'm Sean Ross.
I'm Evan Ross Katz.
And we're here talking Survivor 46, Episode 5, Tiki Man. Yanu's losing streak is over, but we also lost a gem.
Their winning streak is over in slow motion, no less.
Their losing streak.
Yeah. Jesus.
You know, it was the exact same slow motion shot they gave to Ricard in season 41. I don't know if you remember this, but same challenge, same slow-mo, but in Ricard's case, he missed and Will lost again. But just
not
another
this time.
Just another templatized moment in the new era.
Yeah, but they would argue like, yeah, but we switched it up.
They switched it up. Wow, did they ever get me this time?
Yeah.
So we are in the first episode in a post-Banu Survivor 46 world, and I want to check in with you. How are you feeling about the season? I've been seeing people say it feels like a breath of fresh air. Wondering if you're feeling like it's a breath of fresh air or you're still breathing in a fart.
Ew. I don't like that joke.
Sorry. Well, that's where we draw the line.
Yeah, exactly. My heartbeat, what do you call it when a heartbeat stops?
Flatlining?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I have flatlined. I gotta be honest, this is not gonna like come as a shock. I'm pretty much done with 46 and with Survivor, and I went to bed last night thinking about how to like approach this conversation, because I want to give up. I do. But I also recognize and love our listeners, and I feel it is a responsibility to continue on and not like, you know, walk away. Because then I realized that if I came to you and was like, I quit, then someone else would replace me. And inevitably, they would probably be better and more beloved than I would be. And then I would be so sad. So that's, you know, where we're at. But like, yeah, I don't like this show. I don't enjoy watching this show. I don't think this is a good show. And it's tricky to like talk about today, because I don't want to fill an hour with being really negative. And I know we'll have fun. Like, I look forward to this mostly because, you know, getting to talk with you and hear your perspective. But I have nothing like nothing of positivity to provide. But I'm gonna like, you know, I thought about this, Sean. I was like, what if we did a podcast where we like really just try to do like the main episode only saying the positive things and then relegate the negativity to the Patreon. So maybe I'll like put forth a little bit more effort to go that way and see where we land. But yeah, this was a low point for me in both 46 and the new era.
Okay. I hear you. I think do I feel like it was a breath of fresh air? No, but I think we've had a lower point in 46.
And where do you see that lower point?
I think the episode where Brandon was medevaced, where we didn't have a tribal council, I think that that was like a very low point.
Yeah. I don't disagree, but I think that as the game ramps up, you sort of like expect more rising action in the episode ahead, you know, before the merge. So you're not wrong. Like this, yeah. So like, so let me amend the statement to say it's just like, given that this sort of felt like an inflection point in the season, in that we very clearly had this Banu arc that closed out at the end of episode 4. I felt like there was a little bit of make or break to this episode in terms of like, okay, now that we've put that storyline to bed, how do we sort of start anew? And I do not feel like this episode gave me hope in the next phase of the game.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. I think that if I were to find the positives in this, because I haven't yet revealed exactly how I feel. I mean,
Did you want me to ask you?
No, I'll get to it. Sorry. But I think that to find the positives here, I think we did get a little bit of a new flavor in terms of Sega going to Tribal Council. We actually got to see what we were asking for. Let's see how the dynamics are going to shake out on another tribe. And we got to see that. And I think this was the tribe I was the most interested in seeing how that would shake out, because I think it's quite clear that Venus is just on the outs over on Nami, that it's either going to be Venus or Liz or something like that. I know we got seeded that it could be Soda, but I think the writing is on the wall for Venus if that tribe were to go. So I think that would have been a little predictable. So I think we got the better of two tribes in terms of like television going to Tribal Council this week, because it really could have gone any way. And it did. I was surprised that Jem went home and disappointed at the same time, to the point where, you know, the episode ended and I was like, and I hate to repeat it over and over and over, but overstuffed episode, like very overstuffed episode. Didn't need the salsa dancing, didn't need all kinds of things, didn't need the excessive like idol hunts, didn't need to be read the clause in the Beware Advantage clue for the third time, in, you know, the exact same format that we've had it handed to us already twice in the span of five episodes. Didn't need any of that. Having said that, we did get all of the stuff that I said, you know, a new tribe going to Tribal Council. Unfortunately, though, when it ended, it was like, oh, we also happened to lose the most interesting character on that tribe. And so that is a bummer for the season. Like, is it fun to have a blind side on Survivor? Yeah, but not when it's Jem over Ben, in my case, for me, right? Like, if I'm getting, what, you're making a face.
You were blindsided by Jem going home?
I wasn't blindsided, but I didn't think that was the direction it was going to go. I really did think that Ben was going to go home. I mean, it's not a blindside. It's like, it's either Jem or it's Ben. I just really thought that Ben was going to go home.
Can I ask you a question? Can I pause you? Did you think Ben was going home, or did you want Ben to go home? Because both. I feel like it was very 50-50.
Both. Okay. I just thought that looking at the dynamics of the tribe as we were presented them, and I have more to rip into on that, looking at the dynamics as we were presented them, I thought it made so much more sense for Charlie and Maria to keep Jem around. And I think there must be something. We're being told a lot that Ben is a very charming and charismatic guy. We're also...
We sure are.
Yeah. We're also being told by Tim on the journey that, like, if he's bringing one person into this, like, secret alliance, it's Maria out of nowhere. We've never seen them have a relationship at all. In fact, all we know about Tim is that he wanted a woman out and that how women operate.
We know that he's a parent.
Oh, there's that, too. Yeah, they did have the parent connection. You're right. Thank you. That's the connection. But I just didn't see
LOL, I was saying it as a joke and you took it earnestly.
No, but like seriously.
It is information, that's true.
But the fact that his number one wasn't like a Ben or a Charlie was really surprising to me, that he's going to bring Maria into this. So there's some relationship there we don't quite understand. And I guess my problem with the episode is that we have 90 minutes. Now, this season, as we know, Jeff Probst has said to Dalton Ross many a time that Survivor 45 was always greenlit as a 90-minute episode season. And so they filmed with the intention of filling 90 minutes. Now, we can get into, like, what does that even mean for a reality show, etc. But it does feel like Survivor 46 has been hastily produced as a 90-minute episode, in that we're getting a lot of stuff that feels super unnecessary, like the salsa dancing, like the idol hunting, and it's just not all that interesting. And so I think that's the problem, where what I think that they should be doing with this 90 minutes, but it would really be a shift in their approach to editing the show, would be to take the Australian Survivor model, where it's like, in Australian Survivor, it's similar. It's actually a little longer, 1 hour and 8 minutes per episode a lot of the time. It does shift around a little bit. But a typical episode, 1 hour, 8 minutes, you're usually gone to immunity at like the 20 minute mark. And so you have a good like 40 minutes usually of pre-tribal strategy in which you're presented all of those conversations that happen. So not all of them are going to come to fruition, but you really get a good picture of like, here's all of the things that were discussed. Here's all the options on the table. And so when you do see the result, you really have an idea of where it came from. You can still be surprised by the result, but you've at least been given all the information back at camp, where I do think there was a key elements missing here from the gem boot of why did Maria make this decision? Did Mariah know anything about this? Mariah, who's like getting a very clear winner at it, as far as I'm concerned, what did she know? Did she know anything? Was she left out of this fully? Was her radar going off in any way? So I just think there's like things that where like what conversations did Tim have with Maria? Did, you know, the journey, alliance stuff, like how much did Maria consider that? So I just think there's a lot that could have been put in this episode that whether it would make it better or not, I don't know. But I think that it would have been more useful than some of the pre-immunity challenge stuff that we did get.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like the salsa stuff was in service of Jeff's quote to Entertainment Weekly about the musicality of this season?
Oh my God, I never even thought about that. It's the undercurrent of music.
Yeah, so I wondered if that was sort of like them building on this quote-unquote theme of season 46. Because that's the only thing I could imagine. But I also feel like New Era Survivor like loves this contrast between like, moments of suffering and then moments of like, yeah, but we still manage to come together and have a good time. You know, we still have laughs.
Yeah, and they're very, very clearly trying to highlight the moments that the players are goofing around or having fun, where that used to not be a part of the show, really.
Do you know what Templatized beat I need them to stop doing? The so-and-so's looking for an idol, and then they do the shot of the idol in plain sight, and they make it glimmer.
Well, not only did they do that in this episode, but Hunter even said, there's going to be that shot. There's going to be that shot.
Well, sure enough. And you know the editors were gooning when they were like, he said it and we're giving it to him. Oh, Lord. I guess what I'm curious about, so you're seeing sentiment online that's like people felt this was a breath of fresh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, for sure. I think, but again, I think that people have very low standards when it comes to New Era Survivor, to be honest. And I think that just the fact that this was an episode that was devoid of a Banu-esque character, I think is what, like, this is the product that was, that is like bland enough to appease the masses, if I could be a little inflammatory about it. I don't think that there was like stuff to hate about this episode. I think it was just bland.
That's all. I'm with you. Yeah. And perhaps I came out of the gate like super hot. Yeah. Like I am totally aligned with you, but for me, like boring is the worst thing you can be. So it's like, if you're going to fail, like fail miserably. And I feel like I'm just so bored watching the show. And that's like the worst feeling is like I'm on my phone. So it starts with me picking up my phone to take a note about the episode. And all of a sudden I'm like, well, I've got my phone. It's like, well, I'm here. I might as well. And then it's just like I fall back to my phone, which is why.
It's the competition for attention.
As listeners of this podcast know, I tend to miss giant pieces of information because I just get sucked in by something more interesting. Yeah, that just sort of, that bums me out.
Yeah.
And totally. Also, I think there's going to be several listeners snapping their fingers when I say this. It's so jarring to hear them openly saying that records are applicable to the new era and just having that be part of the show now and the erasure of 40 seasons of Survivor and essentially treating this as though this is season 6. Is so weird. And like, it's about this where you're never going to be able to make the argument about a tribe doing poorly when you have Palau. You're just, unless you have a tribe of 10 decimated down to one, even then you would only equal the lowest of the low. You're never going to pass that.
And so, even then, that tribe was so much bigger than 6 people.
Absolutely. So it's one of those things where we've expressed that frustration a few weeks ago, but then to have the show recognize these new metrics of because Jeff makes that comment being like, we love records. Is that what he says? Yeah. And it's like, do you?
It's not a record if it comes with a qualifier.
Yeah, there's that, and then we'll get to it. But later when Hunter does his little,
his journey challenge,
whatever, which we should, I want to do.
I'm getting into it.
Okay, which we'll get to, but just the clips that they choose, and I've heard several people talking about it, basically just being like, this is, you know, Paramount Plus kind of trying to say, if you like this, you should check out older episodes of the show. But again, that flattening of the show to be like Boston Rob, Parvati, Sandra, like these just few moments, as opposed to, I would have loved them to use that opportunity to spotlight things like Thailand, you know what I mean?
Totally.
Which I was so glad to see included in the mix. It's just the way that this show, and again, that shot of Parvati was like a pan up of her body, which was very old style Survivor, which I hate and appreciate. I just was like, gosh, I wish, and again, I'm a broken record, but I wish this show was able to recognize and celebrate its own legacy in a way, instead of flattening it the way it does.
Yeah, totally. And I don't think...
Poor Caleb.
poor Caleb. The thing about the records is, like, you can't qualify the records. There's no Guinness Book of World Records for the new era. Like, there's no Guinness Book of World Records for the 2010s. Like, you can't break a record if you're qualifying it, right? Yep. Like, that's not how this works. And so you can say, actually, if you want to celebrate the history of the show, bring it up. Bring up Palau. Bring up Matt Singh. Bring up Ua. Bring up those tribes that really got whittled down, and be like, you're on that path. And unless you change now, you're going to stay on that path. Absolutely. And which one of you is going to be Stephanie LaGrossa? Like, let's celebrate the history in that way, because you can't have it. You can't have it, you know, qualified records and then also try to celebrate the history of the show with a challenge. You can't have both. You know?
And I think that's one of, like, for people like us that complain about the new era, I feel like a lot of it is this portrayal of the show as being so much, you know, if it would just recognize the fact that it is different. But then, see, I'm contradicting myself, right? Because on the one hand, I'm like, it should recognize that it's a different show, it's a different game, right? But then I'm sort of like, yeah, but it's, if it is part of Survivor, so I actually don't know where I stand on this, because I get, it's like, it is nice to recognize, to differentiate the old game from the new game, because they are very different games. And in doing that, you sort of, in my mind at least, recognize the difficulty of the older game in contrast to the new game. I think that's more me reading into it than them presenting that. But I'm also like, it comes at a cost though, because I feel like, yeah, like these older seasons don't really get recognized or acknowledged. So I'm not sure, but all I know for certain is I had such a reaction to Jeff kind of beginning to make new metrics around new era. And then especially too, like when a thing happens for the first time after just six seasons, it's not that impressive.
Yeah.
I'm also just can't understand, like, we're on day 10 with 14 people left. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, I get it, but, like, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, I was so shocked to see a merge coming next week. I was like, I feel like we're just getting started here. And maybe it was the Banu thing dragging us down. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Maybe it was that, because I did have to double check. I was like, is this normal? Is this normal to be merging on episode 6? And yes, in fact, it is normal for the most part. I think Survivor 41 had 6 or 7 people out before they merged, but it's the outlier. But I looked back, it was like, 9 people were booted in Winners at War before they merged. But
amazing.
Some other ones you get, I think David versus Goliath only had 5 people booted before they were merged. So
now, has New Era done any of the 3 tribe down to 2, or it's always been 3
no,
to merge?
No, it's always been 3.
Because that to me is really...
That's the thing. Like, this is something I wanted to talk about, because we've been getting all of these beats, right? It's like, okay, well, it's the journey that's at this point, which might mean this. There's the Beware Advantage, you know. know, we had Hunter say to Venus, the era of the landmark is over for the Beware Advantage. They hide them here, here, and here. And I think back to season 41, season 42, when Jeff was talking about the new era and all of these twists and all of these advantages. He said it was to keep players on their toes, to expect the unexpected. And we have gotten to this place 6 seasons later where it's like, no, they actually know exactly what to expect. You know, to take the three tribes down to two would be such a gag that it would really screw with the player's perception of the game, which I think is what needs to happen. And this is coming from somebody who, you know, in the 20s was like, enough with the twists, enough with the twists. Now I'm like begging for the twists because this game is just so, you hate to use the word again, but templatized. It's just like, we know what's coming. The players know what's coming. And I think that that's really to the detriment of the show. If it's a game that just you can play, that's one thing, but we're making a TV show here. And I think that that's getting lost.
I think the best example of what you're saying is going on group idol hunts, you know, and mm-hmm. how that's become so normalized because it's just so such a part of the show to go and look for idols that everyone's like, wouldn't it just be easier and more cordial if we did this together? And it's like, there was a time when it's like, that wasn't part of the how you do Survivor, but now it's like, you show up, you find the palm fronds, you start weaving them together, then you gather everyone together and start looking for idols. There's just all these sort of like, there's like a to-do list of what to do on Survivor now. And even like, I know Kelly was on what do you call it now that it's not Noah?
I think it's just the post show.
Yeah, the post show. And, you know, he asked her, he was like, did your tribe talk about the journey? Like, who was going to go on the journey? And she said in her instance, her tribe hadn't. But again, I'm like, that to me is like, yeah, the moment that you would get there, you would decide who's going. There's just so many things now that you know are coming that you can just plan for. That's why you have people on day one, sort of, rather than vibing with a person as an individual, they're like, oh, we should be a final two, rather than mm-hmm. just being like, I really like you. Like, I want to invest in this bond that we have.
Yeah. And that's one thing. And I think that that's going to come naturally, but I do think there's ways that the show could disrupt that, right? Mm-hmm. Like an unexpected merge. They used to do two merges sometimes, unexpected swap is what I meant. They used to do two swaps sometimes before the merge, which like I'm not a fan of, but maybe we just need like one example of that to keep players on their toes so that you can't link up, you can't have a Charlie and Maria come together or a Q and Tiff come together and be like, this is it. Like we are a duo and we're going to move through this game. No, give them opportunities to have them split up and have to play a new game all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I just think there's too much pre-planning that can be done, pre-gaming that can be done.
Yeah. I also feel like the show did a weird job in this episode of like, so you have like that Soda moment where she's talking about, was it Soda? I think it was talking how hard it is to find an idol. Mm-hmm. But then you have the cut to Jem later when she finds the clue and you have, she had to measure the boat and the
flag, the
but they were right next to each other. They were literally in a single shot together.
Yeah.
And obviously she was able to complete that in the limited amount of time that she had.
But she also had to do it at Tree Mail. That was like another one.
Well, right. But my point being, it's like, I feel like and we've talked about this, I never get the sense of like, because if it's that hard to find an idol, why is it that everybody on every single season always finds their idols? You would think that if it was truly that hard, that it would be rare to find an idol. But everyone on every tribe in every season of New Era has found their idols. So you get the impression it's truly not that hard, which is fine. But again, which one is it, right? Is it sort of like, if you go looking for idols, you will find one? Because it just doesn't seem that challenging to actually get an idol. And then in this instance with Jem, I thought this was a big missed opportunity because we've expressed the fact that we really like when you have to sort of like, you know, dig underneath where mm-hmm. your tribe is sleeping in the middle or go on a journey in the middle of the night. But this one was basically like, go grab your machete, which really isn't that hard. You could just be like, I'm going to borrow the machete and then like go and grab a few things. And then the fact that it was like that easy for her to find it, it seemed like it was buried like an inch under the ground. I just was like, it's like they want to create all these obstacles, but then I'm like sort of like, is it again, the question that I wish the show would ask itself more, like, is it entertaining? Because mm-hmm. watching Jem have to measure things from a television perspective, is that going to create great television? I'm reminded of the untying of sandbags in The Challenge, which, again, I ask you, is this making good television, watching people, three different tribes, send out three different players to run the exact same obstacle in which they're literally just going from sandbag to sandbag and untying them? Mm-hmm. Is that good television? End rant.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And even with the journey, which, like, let's talk about that now, where Hunter had to organize 20 random Survivor logos into chronological order, I thought this is fun. We haven't done a Survivor trivia challenge in a very long time. Apparently all these people are super fans. I mean, if we looked at Hunter's, like, Silence of the Lambs house, he's supposed to be a huge Survivor fan, and this is a fun challenge. But on TV, it's really hard to convey what's going on. Like, yeah, we got a quick shot of the 20 logos out of order, but it's like, I couldn't even see. I didn't, like, certainly I saw like five, but I don't have time to go through every one. And then when I'm seeing him order them, there's no way for me to tell whether he's right or wrong, unless he's, like, really doing something obviously wrong. So it just doesn't play that well on television, unfortunately.
Also, why not have all three of them compete and see who finishes first? Like, there was no reason to not have that be all of them. It's also interesting too, and granted, I'm very anti-journey, but there was a time that you went on the journey and the whole idea was that you were gonna walk to some destination and use that walk to the destination to get to know one another. Whereas, like, now, it's just like, you show up at the beach, stand at the beach for 15 minutes, make a strategy around how you're going to work together, because what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, boys, you can head back to the beach and all compete in the challenge, even though I already don't have a vote, and now I've lost the vote that I don't even have. Like, that was the lack of stakes here was just wild to me. I'm like, why not make this Exile Island and the three of them have to stay there overnight? So they can't just, like, hatch a plan real quick for how they're going to work together. They can actually get to know one another and form, whether it be an actual bond or a disdain for one another, which would be lovely. But it just felt like sort of like, what are they going to do during their 15 minutes while the boat waits for them, other than be like, yeah, we should all work together, because what's the alternative?
Exactly. And this is the thing. Like, this is the whole Exile Island Alliance thing from back in Token Chains. The reason it didn't pan out, but the reason that that worked as a story is because Tosh and the hot guy, Brendan, I think, the reason that they came up with this Exile Alliance is because they had to spend a whole bunch of time together and bond in that way. And they had time to, like, talk this through, and, like, maybe it wasn't, like, fully organic to be like, hey, we should work together. But, you know, they had the time to be like, hey, wouldn't this be interesting, and talk through scenarios and stuff, mm-hmm. where it's like, I just don't, maybe it'll pan out, but I just put zero stock in this secret alliance that three guys made who don't know each other. I just think there's nothing there for them to, there's no motivation there for them to ditch their actual alliances that they've built over the course of these, whatever, 9-10 days. Especially for somebody like Tim. If Tim is now in a majority over on Sega, like, what motivation does he have to suddenly ditch that, just bring Maria and work with Hunter and Q and their random friends he's never met? It doesn't really make any sense. And I'll tell you the reason why they're not doing that is because it's a 26-day season and they have to go to tribal council that night. So that's why they're not doing it. And that's so frustrating.
Yeah.
So can we talk a little bit about the logo ordering? I've got some observations to make.
Please.
First of all, I would love to know how you would do at the logo ordering, because we had a Patreon question about this, but I'm just going to talk about it on the main show. Somebody asked Sean, somebody asked me how I think you would do at ordering the logos chronologically.
Love it.
And I really thought about it, because, like, my first reaction is, well, he wouldn't be able to do it. Then I thought more about it and I was like, actually, I think you could. And if you slipped up anywhere, it would be like, one, it would be like, did Ghost Island or Heroes, Hustlers, Healers? whatever hero, whatever that season was called, did one of those come, like, I think that's where you would slip up. And honestly, like, I would struggle a little bit in that area as well. But how do you feel you would do?
Okay, so I can do 1 through 20 easy. Okay. Like, that's like, yeah. Then, yeah, you're totally right. I feel like I could do 20 to 25. I'm good. 26, because we've had a couple times where I've slipped up on the podcast, which is probably what you're going off of, but I'm good with 26, 27, 28.
But I think if they were there in front of you, I mean, the ones that he had from that time,
I think I'd be fine. Yeah, what would slip me up, you're correct.
It was San Juan del Sur. You know where that, like, you know where that is. They didn't actually have, they didn't have Karamoan, then Blood versus Water.
Yeah. It was also funny how the show is presenting it, like, as though it was the logos, but it's like, it's just the name of the season.
No, it was the logos.
I know, but the name of the season's on the logo.
Yeah.
So it's not, it's just the name of the season. You have to know the order of the seasons. Like, the logos don't matter.
Yeah, sure. Using the logos.
Yeah, it's just order the seasons of Survivor. Yeah, like, they were presenting it as this, like, art project, and it's like, just order the seasons of Survivor. No, I think I would do pretty well, but to your point, it's like, I think that there would be, like, that critical error that I would make there. I guess my question is, what are your thoughts? We have spoken at length. We like trivia on Survivor, but I think we go more towards the kind of trivia that's either about the people on the game that show sort of how much you've been listening and getting to know your fellow tribe mates, or we like, well, our favorite is sort of like who on the tribe is most likely to, you know, piss everyone off. And so then you sort of,
which isn't exactly trivia.
It's not trivia. Yeah, correct. But we like that. This to me was like veering into like Carson puzzle territory as far as like, what do we want out of people that come on this show? And I do not think it should. And granted, this is just, you know, a journey. It's not terribly consequential, but it's like, is the expectation, because I would think now, if you are if you are hoping to be on this show and you are watching this episode, you might think to yourself, I need to know the order of the seasons of Survivor. I might need to have a more encyclopedic knowledge of the show. And you would probably be correct based off of what we're seeing. But is that something that we want? Because we've spoken at length about our desire to have the show casting less fans and really our desire to have more recruits. And so I feel like this, while I do love trivia, and it's my understanding this is the first trivia in 30 seasons of Survivor, according to Brandon Donlan, the last instance was Micronesia. So while it's great to have it back, is this the kind of trivia?
There are 20 seasons.
No.
Micronesia?
16.
Yeah.
26, 36, 46.
Right.
Not you trying to correct me and being wrong. One time.
Noted.
I got you.
Okay. So the interesting question, because no, I don't think that people should have to know this stuff. Certainly not the chronological order of seasons. And I kind of liked what Hunter said, which was like, didn't watch them chronologically, but I could tell you what happened in all the seasons. More on that. Put a pin in that, because he got a big mistake in there. But I like the idea of this happening. Now, when they've used it in the past, I don't remember every instance they've used it in the past, but I'm pretty sure they did it at All Stars. They did it at Fans versus Favorites. And so those seasons are a little more meta about Survivor. It's a Survivor season about Survivor, right? In some way, especially Micronesia. And that was so interesting because you had, one, some fans, alleged fans, who really didn't know their trivia. And the questions were like, which contestant got bit by a shark and bit the shark back? Richard Hatch. Like, it was that sort of thing. And I like that kind of trivia better because it is more situational. It is like, oh, here's a random thing that happened. Do you remember it? As opposed to the encyclopedic sort of aspect of things. But I do like that there's a little bit of, you know, self-reflection in a challenge, especially when it's like a reward challenge or a journey sort of thing. Like, all that's on, not to say all that's on the line is a vote, because I don't even think that should ever be on the line, but in this new era, and this is what we're dealing with, like, I think that it's like low stakes enough that this is a fun little game that they could play. Could the trivia be better? I think so, yeah. But I don't think it should be necessary to have the knowledge coming in, but I do like the concept of this being on the table.
Uh-huh. I feel like it could maybe be like loosened by being like, name 20 Survivor winners. Mm. Like create a little bit of room for error, because this was just sort of like, again, he missed a ton, so he take Hunter out of it. But like, if someone like me were doing this and I got just one wrong, I lose the challenge. And I think there should just, if you're going to go this route, I think you should be able to fly by just being a fan and not a stan.
Plus, that would work better on TV, because if you just had to write down a list, you've got to talk it out. You can play it at home. Totally, you can play at home. Now, the thing that Hunter did, because I was very confused, I had to go back and look at the logos. As I said, I sort of missed them in the brief second that they showed them to us. And Hunter's going, well, and it's a great opportunity for them to show Sandra and Rupert and Tyson and all the people that they love to show in Parvati. And there was a couple of things, though, that Hunter, I think, sort of slipped up on. One was that, you know, he was associating Cook Islands with Parvati and then being like, well, Parvati was on Cook Islands, so and I know she won before Token Chains. So there was like an insinuation that Parvati won Cook Islands, but that I'm willing to sort of like pass on. I may just not be like inside Hunter's head on that. But then he said, and then Rob came back for Redemption Island, and that's when he won, and we got our Boston Rob clip package. Having said that, Redemption Island was not one of the logos that was shown to Hunter. And so what I've deduced is that Hunter conflated South Pacific, which is Sophie's winning season, which had the Redemption Island twist in it, and called that Redemption Island. So I just think it's funny that they used the opportunity to show a Boston Rob clip package when that season was never actually even in contention in the game.
Yeah, but I'm going to say, again, I feel like the producers were gooning when got that wrong, because they're so much more excited to show off Rob than they would be Sophie, which is unfortunate, because let's just be clear, shout out to Sophie, who you and I consider one of the all-time great players of Survivor and Drop Your Buffs guests. We bow to the Queen Sophie.
But they also look like they could have been gooning, because he could have been like, oh, that's the season Ozzy and Coach came back.
Right. And they, yeah. At but that point, they're beyond good. Like, I think
what, like, they really what they really needed was they put Marquesas in there. And so they could have had, oh, that was Boston Rob's first season. Mm-hmm. Then we can cut to that version of Boston Rob. And how fun would that be for them? And then the fact that we have Thailand representation and we are not getting a shot of Helen Glover saying, A2 Brute, big missed opportunity. But
huge. Huge, you know, for the Drop Your Buffs fan community.
If I was ever on Survivor, which I don't want to be, if I was ever on Survivor, I would make it impossible for them to not insert a clip of Helen Glover. I'd be like, you know, Jeff, it's just like when Helen Glover said that if she had a gun, she'd shoot Jan and then she'd shoot herself next.
Or you could do what, I don't know their name. Who are the two guys that did the Taylor Swift thing? Charlie is one of them?
Charlie and Ben.
You could do what they're doing with someone and be like, hey, do you want to have like a competition to see who knows famous Survivor quotes? And like, they're giving you like, I can get loud too. And you're like, no.
I'm like, you are the epitome of a used car salesman. Yeah, that would be good. Not going to happen. So, what else do you want to talk about?
Well, I had two other things I just wanted to bring up real quick. So one, at the top of the episode, we have Tiffany saying Q and Kenzie are her closest allies. And I'm just like, girlfriend, they are your only allies.
Let me give Kenzie a little credit here. I think she may have been like,
No, this context was Tiffany.
Oh, Tiffany. Sorry. Tiffany said it about Kenzie and Q.
Yeah.
I think the context may have been, they were always my closest allies, and now here we are together, the final three in this tribe of six. Okay. You know what I mean?
Sure. That's a great...
Okay, I'm just giving credit. Okay.
My big beef of the week is, once again, we have a challenge ending with the men coming forward and finishing it. However, I'm going to go for a twist here. What I loved, so I actually do have something positive to say. Mm-hmm. What I loved about this twist that sort of pulled me back in was that everyone had to finish the challenge. Everyone had to actually do that, which I don't think is very common. What I'm saying is what I thought was going to be my big beef ended up not being because I'm so used to men finishing. So at first I'm like, I got to the end there and I was like, oh my God, it's doing the thing where like everyone has to participate, but the men are the ones that get to do the slam dunk.
They save the day.
Yes. I really appreciated this twist. Yeah. And what was great about it is people like Kenzie and Maria, who you maybe thought would have been the ones to lose the challenge for their tribes, ended up being able to finish easily. Mm-hmm. So I thought that it was a great challenge because it was something that required physical strength, but it was able to show that like Kenzie, who was super slow on the, you know, untying the sandbags, the compelling piece of television, it was able to show that like, yeah, she is a physical threat in this game. Like she can do and stuff like too. Venus, and it's not like, just hanging from a log.
Yeah, that like Venus is a great example of that too, right? Like on the outs of her tribe, doesn't look that strong, but like, hey, she did it. She did what she had to do.
Totally. So I love that. I want more of that. I like when everyone has to participate. Okay. And I think it makes the win for Yanu more validating because it really was a team effort. Yeah. They all had to do the exact same thing in the challenge.
Yeah, totally. What do you make of Venus's ongoing story here? Like, is it just... I just ask because I think that Venus is the thing that's keeping me going. I will say, but here's the positives. I think Q is a great survivor character. I think you brought this up early on that he has like an old school quality to him. Yeah. And I totally agree. There is like, it does take things very seriously and not in a way of performing seriousness. Mm-hmm. I believe it from Q, and I think it's like really refreshing.
I totally agree. I just think Q needs more characters to play with. Sure. Because the problem right now is that like we only get Q and Kenzie and Q and Tiffany, and no disrespect to those two, but like there's not electricity when it comes to those dynamics. So I am with you. Like I am long game for Q, but it's like I need Q to have more people to play with and not Hunter and who's the other guy? Tim. But yeah, I'm with you there. My thing with what's her name?
Venus.
So I've got my eye on her. She's definitely like compelling. It just only works if like you can't in the new era, you can't be an agent of chaos unless you have people who are willing to work with you. Whereas like there was a time when you could be a Russell Hance and like blow through the game. I don't think that exists anymore. So I guess for me, I need to see where next week nets out with her because I just don't want to put my eggs in a basket with her because obviously being on the outs with your tribe is not a bad thing, especially coming into Emerge. But knowing what we know of how New Era goes, it often at these initial votes in the Mergatory, it's sort of just like getting everyone sort of frantic and nervous and kind of finally feels like they're playing the game. So they tend to like go after the lowest hanging fruit and not make like a big move at the outset. I could be wrong here. Maybe someone's shouting out an example where this isn't true. But I just feel like losing Sydney in 41 and then also who was that woman on, is either 44 or 45 that we kind of liked, but then she ended up being problematic in real life.
Oh.
She was like a yogi, a therapist. No, she was a therapist. She was a therapist.
Oh, Tori?
Tori. Yes, is an example of like, we really liked Tori and we were there for Tori, but then like Tori was rubbing people the wrong way. And in New Era Survivor, you rub people the wrong way, you go home. So I am like fully here.
I feel like Tori was like 42.
Whatever. But the point is, I am here for Venus, but I need to see where we net out next week before I invest.
Yeah.
I gotta say, for someone that started so angry, I feel like I didn't, you know, I wasn't bringing too much negativity.
No, I think we definitely ranted a lot up top, but we always come around by the end. I feel like we start hot and then we sort of are like, then we get all of it out and then we're like, wait, now let's talk about Venus and Q.
Yeah, I mean, I still fucking hate this show.
I get it. Trust me, I understand. But wait, I did want to say the reason I brought up Venus just before like I forget this thought completely is that I don't even think she's trying to play as an agent of chaos. I just think that she's a breath of fresh air in her confessionals. I think she has this like I don't give a fuck attitude that and yet she does give a fuck. And I just find I just feel like she's a real person in the way that they like often tell us that they cast real people now. And a lot of these people I just am not running into in my day-to-day life, where I would run into a Venus. And I feel like Venus is giving like a certain reality quality to the show that I don't think that we see all that often. Like it's polished. Like she has a polished look, but I think her delivery and stuff is unpolished in a very refreshing way. Mm-hmm. And just kind of like, it's just like, what, like, what, why? It's this tone to her voice that's like, as if, you know? Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that. So little wins here. And I have to say, it's sad to lose Jem, because I think that she had a similar sort of thing where it's like Jem like getting confronted. I thought it was like, I liked watching Jem squirm and thinking that she was doing a really good job and clearly not doing a really good job. And, you know.
I wanted more from her.
Okay.
I needed a better liar.
I did like that she suggested voting Jeff Probst out.
Uh-huh. I wanted some more ruthlessness from her, and she needed to do a better job. It's like, when everyone was pointing fingers about who did it, it's like, you're on Survivor. You need to be pointing fingers at people. You even need to take people out one-on-one, just as Tim was it Tim that was accusing her?
You
need to do that same thing one-on-one, not just at Tribal, so that people can sort of be like, well, if she did it, then why would she be questioning me? You know, so aggressively, because once it's at Tribal, it's all performance, right? It's different.
Or to take what Tim is doing and be like, Tim is a liar and he's trying to
he's trying to throw it on me. There you go. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So I just felt like I wanted more from her.
I hear you. All right. So just to check back in from the beginning of the episode, like, are you quitting or... Like, do I have a lot of work to do for next week?
I'm not quitting, but here's what I'm going to say, and I'm not being funny. I will probably, not probably, we're going to have a conversation about 47.
Okay.
Because I could see a world in which I retire from, because I'm so, you know me, like I'm loving doing the old episodes.
Uh-huh, I know.
Love doing the traitors. We have And Just Like That and White Lotus coming back next year, which is going to be, well... And Just Like That coming back for us. So there's so many other things that I like enjoy doing. I don't know if I'm best served moving forward, but we started this together and we will finish it together.
If you leave for the, okay, I hear you. I think that, if you're reconsidering a 47 recap situation, I would certainly be reconsidering a 47 recap situation. So maybe we would just stop recapping New Survivor. That's fine. I don't care.
It could be fun too.
We launch an international talent competition.
I love that. Wait, that would be fun. And then maybe we like guest star on our own podcast. But also, I could say like I could be into letting 47 air, getting a temperature of the room from our fans, and then deciding whether or not we want to do it in the same way that we're doing the old seasons. I think that me might be better, because going week to week and sort of having my, I think if I sort of understood holistically from people whether or not it was a good or bad season, I think that might be more helpful. Although I worry that like people's ideas of a good season and my own, we like vary, but yeah, I don't know. Again,
You do have to wonder, like, as 46 is airing and they're sort of getting the feedback they're getting, I don't put a lot of faith in the Jeff Probst at the helm version of Survivor, but you gotta think they're looking at things very closely. I don't know. All right. Yeah, whatever. Okay, well, we have a lot of questions for our after show, which is available exclusively on Patreon. We do that every week after the recap. So if this wasn't enough for you, we'll just wait till you check out the Patreon. And of course, also on the Patreon, we are recapping Survivor Nicaragua and having a blast doing that. And I think there's only a couple episodes left of that, but we're doing that weekly. And, you know, after 46 ends, we're going to do something, another exciting rewatch season, maybe even something we've never watched before. So we'll see about that. Remember what we discussed? No. Australian Survivor Season 3 is sort of like floated as an option.
Yeah, I'm into that.
Yeah. Okay. So there's lots of stuff over on the Patreon. You can check that out by following the link in the show notes to this episode. And of course, you can find us on Instagram at Drop Your Buffs Pod. We will be posting a meme cap from this episode. And an emoji that people could leave underneath might be
a gem.
Like a gem. Perfect. Yeah, a little diamond. Let's do that. Good one. And that's it. We will see you next week, unless Evan like really changes his mind.
I'm so fucking dramatic.
Thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye.